Good morning. Glad to have you all here. We're going to start today what I think will be 3 days of review for the upcoming midterm exam. And as we talked about yesterday, if you had lab yesterday, or today, if you're at lab today, next week, not this week, but next week will be the time of the first midterm. And the first midterm will basically be over chapters 13 and 14. So 13 was equilibria, understanding K, stuff like that. And then 14, which I split into two sections, I tried to have the first. Thank you. Okay. One of these answers up here does not make sense. Which answer is that? A would be okay. K values greater than 1 would be product favored, all right? So if this was a product favored, that would not be right. But I think I heard it back there. E is not a good answer here. K values always have to be greater than 0, all right? They'll never be negative and they'll never be 0. These K values are based essentially on the kinetics rate constants, and those numbers were also greater than 1. So E here doesn't make any sense, but the other ones potentially could be. Now, what Melissa saw, which is good, is that this number is different than the other three. K values larger than 1 mean more products, and K's less than 1 mean more reactants. So this number, A, would mean we had more NO2 than N2O4, while B, C, and D would indicate we have more N2O4 than we have NO2. And at this point, really, it's hard to know which one is which. So what I would do on a problem like this is set up an ice table, all right? And you'd have N2O4 on the left and NO2 on the right. And we're saying here, we're starting with this much N2O4. In ice tables, you always want to use moles per liter, not just moles. So this divided by this would be the initial N2O4 that you're starting with. And the NO2 would be 0. And then this is the thing that will help us here. At equilibrium, the N2O4 is 0.0038. So whatever it started with to whatever it went to this number, there would be a decrease in the change part. And we can use that change to see how much the NO2 increased. Equilibrium means you have both product and reactant. You're not going to have just one or the other. So putting all of this into perspective then, all right, the 0.010 divided by 2 would really be 2 sig figs, but my table would only allow 1. So it should be 0.0050, sorry. Anyway, this is the initial amount of N2O4. And based on the stoichiometry, 1 to 2, the N2O4 would go down by some amount x, and the NO2 would go up by 2x. And then it tells us that N2O4 here at equilibrium is 0.0038 moles per liter. So the way to find the x is to take the initial N2O4 minus the equilibrium, and that's where this number comes in. N2O4 went down by 0.0012. So for every 0.0012 that N2O4 is used up, you're going to create twice that much NO2. So 2 times this number is 0.0024. And that's going to be the number that goes in this part right there. That's the NO2 at equilibrium. So we're using stoichiometry again. All right. 1 mole of NO2 is used up. 2 moles of NO2 are created. Or in this case, 0.0012 moles per liter are used up, and 0.0024 moles per liter are created. So then the last step is just to place it in the definition of K. It's always products over reactants. NO2 divided by N2O4 will square the NO2. So you can see here it's 0.0024 squared divided by the concentration of N2O4 at equilibrium, 1.5 times 10 to the minus 3. So does this number mean we at equilibrium, we would have more N2O4 or more NO2? N2O4, thank you. That's right, N2O4, and the way that Wade knows that, and I bet a lot of you did, but you were just being too shy, which is okay. K is less than 1, all right, that's reactant favored. So reactant in this reaction means N2O4. And another way to look at that is that we have 0.0038, so 3.8 times 10 to the minus 3, and the NO2 is 2.4 times 10 to the minus 3. So we do have more N2O4 than we have NO2. That's another way symbolically to see that we have a reactant favored condition. Any questions on that? Okay. Here's an example of a way that you can combine equilibria to find a desired K value. So this first one is nickel 2 carbonate, NiCO3 is solid, decomposing to Ni and nickel 2 plus ions and carbonate ions. And this is a type of an equilibrium constant with this value right here. Now, let's look at this number for a second. Is this K value product favored or reactant favored? Reactant favored. K is less than 1. So if we had just this reaction, all right, would we have more solid or more of the ions? Solid, that's right, okay? So if nickel 2 carbonate just sits in water, you're going to see a lot of solid, all right? It's kind of a green color, if I remember right, but it doesn't matter. You're going to see a lot of the solid, not much of it's going to go into solution, so we're not going to see it break down. But let's say we wanted to dissolve the solid, all right? We don't want the solid in our system. Well, one thing that people can think about is if you take something like hydrogen carbonate, all right? Hydrogen carbonate is a weak acid, and it reacts with water to make carbonate, its conjugate base, plus hydronium. So this K here is technically a Ka for hydrogen carbonate, all right? So when we talked about acids and bases, the weak systems react with water, conjugate, base, and hydronium. And it's a very, very reactant favored K, all right, not very big. But what we're going to do here is we're going to try and see how to figure out this reaction right here, which is the solid nickel 2 carbonate plus hydronium, making nickel ions, hydrogen carbonate, and water. And as we've seen, hydronium is really the hallmark of a strong acid. So see if you can combine these two reactions to give you a K for this reaction right here. And we're going to try and dissolve the nickel 2 carbonate in acid. See if you can use these two to make them look like this. Okay. One person has it already. Nice job. So when I look at these kind of problems, all right, I know that we need to take these two K's and somehow find this K right here. And this is kind of like Hess's law from chem 221, or these kind of problems, where you can combine reactions together, and when you combine these, you want to end up with this piece right here. But if we just combine them as is, then notice how there's carbonate both sides on the products. So we'd have two carbonates as products, and there's no carbonate in the desired reaction at all. All right, that's totally gone. Another thing is that hydrogen carbonate, which is a reactant, shows up as a product in the desired reaction. So when we combine these two right here, all right, I see that hydrogen carbonate needs to be a product. I think we're going to flip this one around. So instead of hydrogen carbonate being a reactant, I want to make it a product. If I flip the reaction, what do you do to the value of K?
1 over.
That's right. Inverse 1 over. All right. So if we're definitely going to do that. We're going to make hydrogen carbonate a product. It'll also make carbonate a reactant. It'll make hydronium a reactant that way too. So we'll go 1 over this number. But nickel 2 carbonate is a reactant in the desired reaction, just like this one right here. So what we're going to do, what I would try doing, flip this one around, use 1 over this K, but use this one as is. And if we've done it right, then those two reactions together should give us this one. And that's totally what's going to happen. So notice that right here, I have the reverse of the second equation. So carbonate and hydronium are now reactants, and hydrogen carbonate and water are now products. And I do that in order basically to get rid of the carbonate, because adding these two together, the carbonates will cancel. I'll then have nickel 2 carbonate and hydronium, making the nickel 2 plus hydrogen carbonate and water. So by reversing the second one and adding those two together, we're good to go. When you reverse a reaction, you take the inverse of it, so 1 over the 4.8 10 to the minus 11th. We'll multiply that by the first K as is. When you combine reactions, you multiply the K's together. I had a K of 140 on that one. Any questions on that? Sometimes it's useful to combine. You can combine a KA with a KC or something like that and find different ways of doing things. Cool. Does nickel 2 carbonate dissolve in acid using this number right here? Yes, that's right. K is greater than 1. So this reaction, as written, is greater than 1. So while nickel 2 carbonate doesn't dissolve very much, this K is much less than 1. Ho-ho, put a little acid in, which is the source of H3O+, so HCl, HNO3 would be great targets. K much greater than 1, it's going to dissolve. Any questions on that? Okay. Now, here's a reaction where we have some hydrogen, some iodine, and some HI coming together to make 2HI. And the KC is 54.3. And what we want to do here is we want to find the equilibrium concentrations of the H2, the I2, and the HI. Now, this is the toughest problem of the exam analysis we're going through here. And I want to give you a hint here as to how to get started. Notice that you have reactant and product conditions to begin with. So why this is difficult is that it's not clear if the H2 and I2 are going to decrease and the HI increases, or will the HI decrease and the H2 and I2 increase. So the first thing you have to do on this kind of problem, and I would do this too, is I would solve for Q. And Q is going to look the same as K. If Q is larger than 54.3, the products will be decreasing and the reactants increasing. On the other hand, if Q is less than 54.3, that means the H2 and the I2 will be increasing and the HI will be H2 and I2 will be decreasing and the HI will be increasing. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Absolutely, I didn't do a very good job. You want to do a Q calculation, which will be products over reactants using the numbers that you get. And Noah, what you want to do is you want to compare Q to K. If Q happens to be K, then the answer will be right there. But what's probably going to happen is Q will be less than K, or Q will be greater than K. If Q is less than K, reactants will be going to products. And Noah, in that case then, your reactants, H2 and I2, will be going down, and the HI will be increasing. But you also might see that Q is greater than 54.3. And that means your products will be shifting to reactants. And in that case, the HI will be decreasing, and the H2 and the I2 will be increasing. So the change part of the ICE table is the first thing you need to figure out. Like, will the reactants be going down and products up, or products going down and reactants up? And if both of them are possible in this one. So go for a little bit of stuff, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how this one goes. I want to show you the first part of the answer, so bear with me, and I'm going to come back to this. And this is the Q versus K thing. So the answer is D, all right, but try not to focus on that. What I want to try and have you do is focus on this part. In this case, because you have both reactants and products to begin with, you don't know if the reactants will go down and products up, which is what we usually see, or if the products will go down and the reactants are up. So this first part right here is a Q value, and it's just the products divided by the reactants. And it's the HI concentration squared divided by H2 and I2. And when you do this part, you get a Q of 69.7. And 69.7 is larger than 54.3. So what that means here is that this reaction, when it's done cooking in the oven, the products will be shifting to the reactants. So up here on the board, I have here the initial amounts, but we're not certain at first if it's going to be increasing products or decreasing products, and the same for the reactant. So that's why there's a plus or minus. The Q part will tell you which direction you want to go, all right? So in this case, the products, the reaction's going to shift to the left. That means the products will be decreasing and the reactants will be increasing. So now at equilibrium, you can write 0.00623 plus X, 0.00414 plus X, and this one will be 0.0424 minus 2X. And you can plug these three in to your K value. And remember that K is equal to 54.3. And go forward and solve. So I'm gonna go back to this now just real fast. And again, you can just, and you know what the answer is, all right. But anyway, see if you can then get the answers here on this one right here. Yeah.
So I was just messing with the numbers. I noticed that you could just plug it in.
I'll talk about that in a second, Christopher. That's totally legit. Yeah, so Christopher found a backdoor way to solve this. I will share that with you a little bit. So good. So continuing on with this discussion, again, on this problem, because you have both reactant and products initially present, you don't know which direction the reaction is going to shift. Like, will the products move towards reactants, or as usually happens, reactants shift to products. And again, the first part is to figure out what Q is. And Q looks just like K, products over reactants. And you use the values that were given in the problem. And again, Q is 69.7 when you calculate that, and that's larger than 54.3. So if Q is too big, it's gonna go more towards the reactant side, become more reactant favored. That means your products will go down a little bit and the reactants will go up a little bit. And from that point then, you can put in these changes. Now normally in the reactions we look at, reactants are negative and the products are positive. Reactants go down as the products appear. But you can have things like this, and this happens sometimes in the wild when you've got all kinds of things vying for power, energy, whatever, but a Q value will do it. So the Q allows us to tell which direction the reaction is going to go. All right, and in this problem, the reactants in concentrations will increase and the products will go down. All right. So when you use these values of equilibrium, it's product squared divided by reactants. And it's a little messy, all right? If you have the solve button, you can put that in stuff. It is nothing more than a quadratic formula. When you get your values of x, one of them's negative, don't use that one, all right? Use the positive one. So at the end of the day then, the reactants will go up by your x, the products will go down by 2x, and that's the official way to get the values. But Christopher, I want you to explain how you got your numbers, man.
I just made like the KC equation for the products on the top of the reactants on the bottom, and I'm square the top. I just kept messing with the numbers and all the other ways.
Let's say it's exam day. Your brain is spaced out. It's summertime. Well, it's spring officially, right? And you're like, I don't even remember what my name is at this point. Another way that you can seriously do it, and Christopher, this is really cool you did this, is take products squared, the numbers that are given, and divide by the reactants. And though if you have the K, one of those will probably be close to 54.3, which is totally fine. This is another way to do it. It's kind of, you know, under the cuff and stuff, but it does work. Now, in the way that I did this problem, after all this blah, 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 absolutely go back and check, because the answers you get should be about 54.3, and that's what Christopher did. He just took the answers and plugged them in to get 54, and honestly, that's awesome. So that is another way that sometimes you can solve these without going through Q's and quadratic formulas and blah, blah, blah. I'm glad you saw that, man. No secrets, man. If it works, you can do it, man. If we all get to government camp, I'm happy. So, yeah. Questions on Christopher's method, the official method? Cool. Here's a value reaction. It's a compound called dichloromethane, CH2Cl, and it does break down a little bit to methane and carbon tetrachloride. See if you can use this information to see what happens to K as you decrease the temperature. Use that delta H and think about Chatelier's principle. See what's going to happen. 50-50, A and B. Can you feel the anticipation? Oh, yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about what's happening in this problem. Good cough medicine I'm on, whatever medicine I am for my foot. What is delta H? What's that symbol stand for? What quantity? Heat, good. What's the fancy thermodynamic name? Enthalpy, right on. So enthalpy is the fancy name for delta H. It is a heat, though. That's really all it is. It's a measure of heat transfer. Delta H with a little zero means standard conditions. So usually 298 Kelvin, 1 mole per liter, blah, blah, blah. All right, not in Alaska or Death Valley. If it's negative, all right, it can, the value of delta H will tell you if it's endothermic or exothermic. Is the negative enthalpy exo or endothermic? Exothermic, that's right. So in this reaction, if you see a delta H less than zero, a delta H that's negative, it's exothermic, all right? A positive delta H would be endothermic. In an exothermic reaction, do you need to put heat in to make it happen, or is heat released by the system? Released, that's right. And if heat is released, I would write heat as a product. Because in Le Chatelier's principle, you can make sense of all this stuff by thinking of things being added to and subtracting from. So the punchline here, if the enthalpy is exothermic, if it's a negative delta H, that means that heat will be a product. And what we're doing here is we're decreasing the temperature. We're making it cold, all right? And if you take away something, the reaction will shift to the side that you're taking away. And because heat is a product here, if we're taking away the heat, it's going to shift to the side with that heat. The value here and stuff should be increasing. You're going to have a shift to the product side as we try to make more heat. It's trying to warm itself up, all right? So moving to the right makes more products, less reactants. Your K value should increase in this particular reaction. So, and again, this will be the opposite if it's an endothermic reaction. Endothermic, we would have heat as a reactant, all right? And if you take away the heat, if you cool it down, it would shift to the reactant side. But in this case, because it's exothermic, it's going to move to the right. Any questions on that? Will we see at equilibrium more dichloromethane or more CCl4 and methane? What does the value of K tell us? Will we have more of this or more of these two? More products, that's right. K greater than 1, you'll have more products, less reactants. We would have more methane and CCl4 than CH2Cl. Any questions? Here's an example of acid and base stuff. And this is an example with sodium hydroxide. Sodium hydroxide has a molar mass, mm, of about 40 grams per mole. So let's say we add 0.535 grams of sodium hydroxide to 100 milliliters of water. See if you can use this information to find the hydronium. Not hydroxide, but hydronium in the solution. only K that you have to know is the KW in this class. And KW for 25 degrees Celsius is 10 to the minus 14. And there's lots of uses for it, but in this one, KW equals hydronium times hydroxide. And again, the things in the square brackets are always moles per liter. So a lot of you saw, which was cool, you took the 0.535 grams divided by the 40 grams per mole to get the moles, and you divided it by 0.1 liters to get moles per liter, and that answer was the 0.134, and that's awesome. That number comes from sodium hydroxide, and sodium and hydroxide in water make sodium ions, which are usually boring, and hydroxide. So this question technically is asking not for the hydroxide, but for the hydronium, the H3O plus. And hydronium is where pH comes in and all that stuff. So to get the hydronium, what I would do is go 10 to the minus 14 divided by the 0.134 number, and that comes out to be the 7.48 times 10 to the minus 14. So a pretty small number. Sodium hydroxide is a strong base. It has lots of hydroxide. It doesn't have as much hydronium. Now you could have also done this the pH and pOH way. So a strong base like sodium hydroxide, 14 plus log hydroxide. You could then turn it into pH and hydronium. That would have been fine too. Either way is cool. Any questions on that? We'll probably start with this question on Friday, but we'll do more review then. Have a wonderful day.